So recently at one of our properties, three residents were deported. Now, these were people with no criminal history who, to our understanding, were here legally. So we felt the human cost and, of course, an operational shock. Now, fair housing law prohibits discrimination based on national origin, and operators must consistently apply standards to everyone. So at the same time, we have to deal with stepped up immigration enforcement actions that can subtly remove paying tenants, unsettle communities, and expose owners like us to financial and legal risk. So how do we reconcile both realities, both ethically and operationally? So in this episode, we're going to discuss a clear framework. Number one, what fair housing requires. Number two, how immigration enforcement impacts day-to-day operations. And then three, a practical playbook for policies, training, communication, risk management that honors people and the law. Now, I think it's important to start off with a little bit of a legal baseline discussing what exactly fair housing is. Now, fair housing covers a variety of factors, right? So race, religion, sexual orientation, as well as national origin. So we're going to focus on that national origin component today. So what that basically means is we cannot treat applicants or residents differently because of national origin, right? So that could be their ancestry, birthplace, language, accent. Now, legally, by law, we actually can't ask somebody if they're here legally. Now, what I will say is in our screening software, we do require things like a social security number or a green card number. So effectively, there is somewhat of a check that occurs, but legally, we cannot ask the applicant that question. So it's all about consistent criteria applied to everybody in the same way, right? So that income, credit, rental history, criminal screening, which is something is optional, but we certainly do. And it must be uniformly applied. So we can't require extra documentation or harsher standards based on nationality or sort of perceived immigration status. So you can see how this could put operators in a very challenging position. On one hand, and I want to be very clear here, we are totally aligned with fair housing and in total agreement with the law, right? And so we think that that's the way that business should be done. But on the other side of it, we still have to think and kind of consider and worry about, well, what happens if ICE targets one of our communities, right? So, you know, there will be some situations where on a local level, so sort of on the state or city level, some additional policies could come into play. But in all the states we operate in, we are subjected to that national fair housing standard and is what we absolutely make sure that we comply with. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is a very challenging time for operators. And, you know, you want to look at the property holistically and you want to make sure you're offering great resident experiences to all potential residents, but there are some real world impacts here. So what does this ICE enforcement sort of mean operationally? And what are some of the real world impacts, right? So for an operator, could be sort of a sudden vacancy risk, right? In this case, at our property, ICE came in at the same time and removed three residents at the same time. So that's immediate loss of rent, some make ready costs, and some turn down time that we have to factor in. So interestingly enough, as we sort of proceed forward and underwrite new deals, we're actually factoring in sort of a quote unquote ICE risk into our analysis just to make sure that we're factoring in the potential for some higher vacancy that we otherwise wouldn't necessarily worry about. So we also have kind of the community itself, right? So when these things happen, other people in the community start talking. So there's some rumor that start going around. There's some fear. And potentially, some residents may consider moving, maybe finding a place that they feel that they're a little more insulated or protected from potential ICE action. So this could be like long-term residents that just simply say, hey, this community has been targeted in the past. I'm going to move somewhere else. So then we also have to factor in the staff stress, right? Our staff is trained to just love on our residents. It's our core values in action and our mission to go full out for our residents and provide the best living experience in the world. Now, it starts with hiring people that already have our values in place, right? And most importantly, that sort of genuine love of people and that desire for first-class service. So that said, it does apply a lot of pressure on our staff because they feel the real human impact when a family is disrupted through these enforcement actions. Now, I mentioned earlier we had three. In one case, it was one of the spouses, but the other spouse was not removed. So, you know, now we have a family that's broken up. So, you know, our people, once again, they just love people. And so seeing these sort of things happen can basically, you know, put them in a sort of a negative mindset potentially, if even just for a short period of time. And then, of course, we have some reputational risks, right? If we do not handle these situations in the right way, you know, and sort of have empathy for the person, then we could potentially receive some negative reviews, which will impact our ability to further lease the property. So let's talk a little bit about the Ferris playbook. And so the idea here is just policies that honor people and protect the business, right? We got to cover both things. So number one, we have very uniform and written standards for all leasing policies, right? So non-discrimination criteria, really focusing on the income, credit, rental history, and of course, criminal history. We standardize all of our document checklists. So everybody has the same, you know, sort of a lease application process and everybody's screened in the exact same way. And we basically go back behind and ensure that everybody is consistently applying these policies, right? So very important to have just written, documented process. Now, number two is communication protocol. So in effect, what we do and don't say, right? What we can say, what we don't say, all those things. So number one, do, right? So we reaffirm fair housing commitments and explain that management does not ask about immigration status and point residents to public resources neutrally. So we don't get into the middle of these situations, to put it another way, right? So a resident comes to us, we can direct them towards some community resources that may be available to them, but we don't give them advice and we don't necessarily get our emotions mixed in, right? You know, we show empathy, we provide resources, but we don't get into the game of this is just the worst thing that's ever happened, this is terrible, things like that. We got to be very mindful of our language in these situations, right? And what we don't do, and I sort of just touched on it, is offer legal advice to residents or speculate about law enforcement activity. You know, right now it's sort of random. You know, it doesn't necessarily follow sort of a pattern that we can, you know, sort of wrap our minds around. So we don't know when these things are going to happen. So it's all about just staying vigilant and applying our policies uniformly across every resident. And the idea too is that we have sort of one voice, right? So the property manager, the lead at the property level on site, is the person that has these conversations. And so we do provide some Q&As and sort of like FAQs to these people just so they're prepared and ready should one of these challenging conversations emerge. Now, when it comes to like law enforcement and records requests, right, we have policies. So if a law enforcement agency were to reach out and ask for information about our residents, we run that through the corporate counsel, right? The property manager runs that through their counsel. You know, I have not heard of this happening, but you can imagine a scenario where potentially a bad actor could pretend to be an ICE agent and request information, potentially with the purpose of doing some sort of fraud, right? Stealing people's personal information. So that filters through our counsel. And then we never volunteer extra information. We just comply with the request, right? We don't start talking, well, we did this and we did that. We just stay neutral, stay out of it, right? Let it run through the counsel. So that's super important. Now, in terms of like sort of what happens after, you know, we always want to make sure, and this is something we sort of largely do anyway, but keep a running wait list, you know, and have some pre-approved prospects and make sure our vendors are ready for those quick turns should we have an unexpected vacancy due to ICE enforcement. And then once again, in our model, we are now making adjustments going forward and anticipating in some of our properties potentially a little bit higher vacancy, which means we will have to push a little bit harder on rents and things like that just to make sure we hit our net operating income pro forma projections. And going back to sort of like abandonment procedures, like what happens if somebody's taken out of the property and all their furnishings are still there and we never hear from them again? So we have to look at each state. Each state will have laws around, you know, how to handle their belongings, what notices are required, and what do we do if those things are left behind? So you can see it's a very difficult place to be an operator today. You know, candidly, I'm wondering about some of these larger operators, you know, the Gray Stars, not to necessarily call them out, but they're the largest apartment owner in America. And if they're impacted by this financially, will they start putting pressure on the administration to apply some more uniform laws and make it easier for these business owners and operators to do the right thing and follow fair housing, but not also be subjected to potential financial risks that they can't control, or at least have some ability to control? So this goes back to our genuine love of people and our values. So lastly, we want to have compassion in action, right? And this all goes back to, this is written stuff. This isn't just like we leave it with the property manager to think about what might be the best approach. So bottom line is, we have had situations. I mentioned one earlier where one of the, you know, residents, it was a married couple, was caught up in ICE enforcement and the other was not. So working with that resident to create some form of a payment plan you know, stay communicative. That's a two-way street. They have to communicate with us. We have to communicate with them, but just allow them to, you know, work through some of these details, absorb some of these legal costs so they can get back on track. We do run a business here, so this cannot go on forever, but at the same time, having compassion and working with these residents that are impacted and developing a payment plan. Now, another factor is we have your one of our three guarantees, right? The In Your Corner guarantee. So if they can document and show, hey, I can no longer pay rent because my spouse was deported and, you know, my income simply will not allow me to cover the rent, they can use that In Your Corner guarantee where we'll release them of the lease and not, you know, sort of take any further action on them or label it as an eviction. And where possible, we show care moments. You know, in one of the situations, it was a couple of children were around. So, you know, helping with some groceries and some supplies and, you know, making sure they're aware of the Ferris Farmers Market that's coming up. Just anything we could do to help reduce stress and build trust. And, you know, once again, show that empathy. So it all goes back to training at the end of the day. So, you know, Asset Living is our third-party property manager. They're a fabulous partner. They work right alongside us and we have a dedicated team. Who work directly on our listings or our properties, I should say, and none others. So, you know, making sure they're doing frequent fair housing refresher courses, just with real scenarios. So sort of like role-playing these scenarios and ensuring our policies are uniformly applied, you know, developing some scripts for these tough conversations, and then creating an escalation tree, right? What happens if the media shows up and wants to get in on this, right? And build a story around it. You know, when law enforcement inquires, what happens next? I mentioned earlier, direct it to the council, right? But just making sure that the residents and the property managers know who to call and what that escalation tree looks like so we can make sure these things are handled in a delicate way and in a compliant way. And document everything at the end of the day. Everything that happens goes into the leasing file. Every action we take goes into the leasing file just to make sure we're properly documented should anything else emerge down the line. Now, from an investor perspective, you may be saying, gosh, I hear you, and this is crazy. And you know, I'm sorry you're dealing with all this, but at the end of the day, I've invested in your deal. And what are you going to do about it, right? So, you know, one of the things we think a lot about is when somebody does have an issue, and we can kind of work with them to resolve that issue, temporary payment plan, you know, this could come up in a situation where it's a dual income family, and one temporarily loses work or gets sick and is no longer able to generate an income for a period of time. By doing a payment plan and showing that empathy and allowing them to get back on track, we've increased the likelihood of a renewal dramatically, right? And so retention is a big part of our business plan. If we can keep residents happy and keep them in the unit renewing, then we reduce turn costs, we reduce downtime when a unit is offline, and that consistent income keeps coming in. So that empathy first approach is actually really a business focused approach, right? It actually solves two problems: resident experience, while also creating a higher likelihood of a renewal. You know, it's also about our reputation, building a moat around it. So by having these clear values and a fair processes, that will lead to better reviews and faster lease up. And we're also reducing risk because once again, by letting our counsel lead the responses, should anything come up from law enforcement, you know, we're not gonna say the wrong thing and create a worse situation out of something that may have been a smaller situation to begin with. And, you know, once again, we touched on this earlier, but having a wait list and, you know, vacancy reserves in place so we can quickly turn those units and have a plan in place. And then it goes back to something I mentioned earlier as well, but just underwriting some of this risk into our models going forward and adjusting our current pro formas on our assets just to account for that potential risk of some vacancy, right? So, you know, what are the guardrails, you know, kind of at the end of the day? How do we stay compliant and credible? So first and foremost, follow fair housing, right? No profiling ever. We do not vary our screening or enforcement based on national origin or language. We do not give any sort of immigration or legal advice, and we share neutral resource lists that are approved by our council. There are community resources available, whether that's free legal counsel or just networks that will help with things like food and groceries should they have an income loss that they're working through. Once again, written policies that are public, simple, and enforced consistently across every single resident. And then we audit monthly. We look at anything that's happening, notices, payment plans, renewals, and just making sure those things are staying consistent. So basically, as an owner operator, just to reaffirm a few things, we are pro fair housing and pro people, and that will not change no matter what happens on the immigration side of the question with ICE. We acknowledge the tension, right? We talk to our teams regularly about what's happening and what could potentially be happening. And what are non-negotiables, right? So that dignity for all people, uniform policies, lawful process, and operational readiness. And then, you know, we're talking to our industry peers, learning what they're doing, what's working for them, what are some things they've done that makes for really good business. So, you know, using the community as a resource, talking to other operators and learning from them. So just some insights, you know, to kind of summarize here. Fair housing is the floor, not the ceiling, right? So we have to have uniform criteria and communications that protect our residents and the business. We need to plan for what could happen, which is that ICE actions could create some vacancy. And once again, potentially some mindset, some fear. So buffer with reserves, create some wait lists and have clear procedures. Look at ways that we can be compassionate in a way that is scalable and systemized. So payment plans, humane releases when somebody just simply is not going to be able to pay their rent due to this ICE enforcement action, and making sure that our care is really there to build trust and improve renewals and reputation. And lastly, we're putting counsel at the center. So we route all law enforcement requests through legal. We document everything. There are no ad hoc decisions. So, you know, it's a challenging time for an operator today. But at the same time, there are things you can do. We talked about a lot of them today to protect yourselves, your business, your residents, and most importantly, your investors. So if you've liked this content, please like and subscribe and tell other high net worth individuals about it. We love and believe in you. Thank you so much for watching, and we will talk soon.